Welcome to Pigskins and Pageantry, a podcast dedicated to all things SEC football. My name is Wes, and I'd like to invite you to join me, Jesse, and Matt each week as we discuss last week's games, news from around the league, make predictions for the upcoming games, and much, much more. What's up, everybody? It's Wes, and welcome to a frigid episode of Pigskins and Pageantry. Temperatures are dropping all across the nation, but we try to keep our analysis red hot. See what I did there? So
awful, Wes. Let's try it. Start over.
The play on the field might be over, but the biggest news of the season happened after it was all said and done. We'll talk about it and much more. But first, we need to check in with our co-hosts and introduce a very special guest. First, Jesse, how are you holding up?
Just want to play.
I see vitamin C. What's the song?
Called Graduation. We'll be friends forever. Fine. Everything's fine. He has a new office in the Northern End Zone. We're okay.
He's not dead. He's still alive.
He's not dead, and I have successfully not eaten my feelings in oatmeal cream pies. So that's a win.
That is a win. All right. Matt, what's going on?
Oh, you know, we're just celebrating with all my friends. It's like VE Day over here. So, you know, nothing too serious going on. Just vibing. Because the dark times are over. One evil empire has fallen.
Why did I get
retired? And all is right in the world. Yes, Jesse, I said it. He's gone.
Why did I get Michael Scott? Celebrate good times. Come on, vibes from that.
No, Matt.
Bama fan tears. Ooh,
yeah. Tasty.
Sometimes when you cut the head off of what you call a snake, more pop up, and it just gets bigger and worse. And it
sweetheart
hurts your feelings more.
Jesse, you had to get all Greek mythology on us. Come on.
Y'all got the head coach from Washington. There is no Hydra coming. Let's calm down.
We'll see. We'll get there. All right. And like I said, we do have a very special guest today, Josh, who's a member of the Roll Tide Nation over on TikTok, one of the most followed accounts when it comes to Alabama fandom. Josh, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and we'll get going.
Yeah. So my name is Josh, guys, diehard Alabama fan, born and raised. I do remember all the Mikes, Mike Price, Mike Shula, Dennis Franchione, so I'm not just a Saban baby. Now, I was younger when those were going on, but I do remember that. I lost a bet every year in elementary school because we lost to Auburn until we finally got Nick Saban. That was a very sad day last Wednesday at 4:06. I remember the exact time Chris Lowe reported it. And it's one of those things, man, that, like, I get where some people are going to be happy about it, but it's one of those things for us Bama fans that are diehard fans. It's a gut wrencher, you know, it hits you right in the stomach, and wasn't expecting that one either, you know. So completely new. To double back real quick, you talked about my page. I created this page like 3 years ago, or actually like 4 years ago now. And it was the first Bama page on TikTok. There was not one. I just started making edits, you know, going crazy. Things blew up. Then I started doing these daily shows where I brought people on, and things kind of blew up from there. And I'm just, you know, enjoying the ride now, man. And, you know, love doing stuff like this, hopping on different podcasts, talking sports with people, man. It's what makes the world kind of gel together right here is sports, man, especially football in the South.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to having you on the show. You know, we were going to record, right after the national championship game. But as we said, I'm glad we didn't, because some really huge news broke after that. So, yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about that game, and we'll dissect it a little bit.
Always remember, if you ain't first, you're last.
All right, let's talk about the national championship game between Washington and Michigan, the CFP national championship presented by AT&T. There you go, Matt. Get the corporate stuff in there.
Well, you don't have to include the corporate things all the time.
Hey, if they pay for it, they're going to say it, right? So
they're not paying us, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But it is part of the title. Anyway, Michigan won this one 34-13. Matt gets the point as he picked Michigan. I don't know why I put 38-38 because that's not right. But you did pick Michigan by 10, I think, and which was a bigger margin than mine. So you win. And we'll go ahead and say Matt wins the pick'em and $100. Congratulations. Do I have like a congratulations thing here?
Everything is coming up Fortson. I love it.
Dang it. Okay. I should have been more prepared. Anyway, I don't have, you know, it's like a celebratory sound. But anyways, congrats, Matt. That's awesome.
Did you really win if Michigan won?
Right.
Really? I don't have a dog in that fight. Really? I don't care. They're going to have to put an asterisk next to it in a couple of years anyway. So what does it matter?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, so I guess, Josh, let's start with you. What was your take on this game and just sort of how it went?
I picked Michigan to win this game as well. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer, to be honest. But from what I thought was going to happen, Michigan controlled the game line of scrimmage, especially Washington's defensive line could not. You could see it. I mean, Michigan was running at will. Edwards, I think at one point, was 2 carries for like 86 yards and 2 touchdowns. You just couldn't stop the big plays there, you know. And then Michigan just got rolling on that. Washington couldn't capitalize. I felt like that was a step behind the whole night. But commence to Washington getting there. It's tough to get to the national championship game, especially, you know, Pac-12 or what was going on this year with them. And, you know, everybody's foot's out the door. And then, you know, finish strong over there and, you know, get a push for a natty. First time I think Pac-12's been in it since Oregon played Auburn, if I'm not mistaken. No, Florida State, Oregon and Florida State, but it was Oregon either way. So really good game, though. Really good game. It was way better than last year's national championship. I will say that. That was a boring – I mean, like 3 minutes in, I was like, all right, get the middle school team out. Like, get them out. They're done.
And the wild thing is that TCU beat Michigan to get there, right?
I know.
Was Michigan cheating yet then, or no?
I think probably.
I think they avoided looking at TCU stuff because they thought they wouldn't see TCU.
They thought they could just beat them, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I think there was something, I did hear something about they mixed up the signals because they knew Michigan was cheating. So the cheating was going on, but they just, they fooled the...
Allegedly.
Matt, what was your take on the national championship?
I was really digging this game for the first 2.5 quarters, and then after we got back from the half, it kind of fell off. I mean, I anticipated Michigan to win, but I was hoping that Washington was going to be able to keep this a little bit closer. That final score doesn't really show how close this was through 3 quarters, because I mean Washington was hanging in there, but you know, Penix just couldn't really get in a rhythm. We talked about it while we were watching the game, Wes. It looked like every time he had a moment to take the game into his hands, he would overthrow a receiver or miss the throw or hold the ball too long. He didn't have a good night, and you know, I'm not gonna sit here and dog a guy because he's put a lot of work in, but I think a lot of that has to do with those quarterback struggles in this particular game. Now, to Michigan's defense, you know, their defensive line, their linebacker core were in the backfield a lot. Now, I was looking at the stats a second ago. They didn't have any tackles for loss. They had one, I think, and one sack. But I would be wondering what the number for QB hurries was, because I don't have that number right in front of me. But it seemed like they were putting a lot of pressure on Michael Penix a whole lot over the course of this game. McCarthy had a pretty good game. Granted, it was very game managery sort of game, but it still looked really good. And then the really nasty thing that Michigan was able to do is they were able to control the line of scrimmage, like Josh said, and then they just gashed them on the ground. Blake Corum had over 100 yards. Donovan Edwards had over 100 yards. And Washington couldn't do anything to stop those two guys. So Khaki Pants can finally have his steak and milk, and he can enjoy himself a national championship before he moves to Atlanta and becomes the head coach of the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah. And
allegedly.
One thing that I enjoy, Matt, is when people who give you a hard time, give us a hard time on like YouTube or whatever, end up eating their words. Because you said that Penix was going to have like, what, 210, 230 yards passing or something like that? And some people were like, well, I guess he's going to be going up against the 85 Bears and a bunch of other teams because he's going to get – And I was like, well, actually –
Listen, Michigan Stout, they made Bama look – they made Bama look a little sophomoric in a couple spots. And if you can do that to a Nick Saban coach team, I'm sorry. You're going to be able to do that to a lot of people. So.
Very true. Very true. Jesse, what was your take on this?
I can tell you that watching – a Michigan national championship when you are approximately 25 minutes away from Ann Arbor.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
The worst. Oh. It's terrible. I had to go to Detroit that day and I realized on the way there that it was that evening. And I'm like Googling how close we are to Ann Arbor, praying we're closer to East Lansing and maybe other people will hate them too. No cigar. So we went to a bar and watched it. And I'm telling you, not every first down, but every ball carry, these people were cheering. And I was I have to leave this state.
It's like every time I go to watch a Georgia game with Wes, this is constant people barking. And
yeah, you know me, I'm
howling at the moon.
I hated it. But I think Matt was absolutely right. You know, we're watching the first half of the game and it's a game and you're like, all right, well, maybe things can happen. And then it was like in the second half, it wasn't going to happen. I think Michigan cleaned up a lot of the mental errors and fundamental errors that they were making in the game against Bama. You didn't see that this time. They were much more even keel and precise. Didn't almost get a safety in the end zone. And I will say Penix, and now this sucks because of the future news we're going to talk about and the coach who just got to Bama. I did not like leaving Penix in the game. He was clearly not feeling well. He was clearly hurting to me and they knew they weren't going to win. There was no need to leave him there. And he's a quarterback that's been injured three different seasons, like season ending injuries, and to kind of leave him in the game, I thought was a little bit irresponsible, knowing that you're not going to win. This kid is trying so hard to get to the NFL. He's playing in a national championship, which is the one time that these guys want to play. It's in a playoff game or a natty. Whereas otherwise all these other guys get to sit out because they don't have to play. It's a bowl game nobody cares about. So for me, I didn't really like that. And again, I'm not on the sideline. So maybe Penix was like, nope, I'm staying in there. I'm doing this. But again, I'm going to say it like I've said it all season. You're the adult. Be the adult. Okay. Like they're children. Yes, they're probably like 23 at this point because they have COVID years, but they're children. I digress.
Jesse, that's really disrespectful. I know everyone was on the edge of their seat watching the Pop-Tart Bowl, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, that mascot was cool, Wes. You put some respect on the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Pop-Tart Bowl stole the show. It's coming back next year.
That's what I heard, yeah. The edible mascot.
I really
mascot
hope it's
will
a brown
return.
Sugar cinnamon one next year.
It low-key got more hype than a lot of other bowls, like the Pop-Tart Bowl. It was kind of funny, more or less, of than anything, seeing the hype it was getting.
I can't wait for some of these other food-oriented bowl names to become edible mascots.
I want a Del Taco Bowl. I want a Del Taco Bowl where the entire trophy is just made out of California burritos. That's
hello, the Cheez-It Bowl.
Cheez-Its are garbage.
Cheez-It Bowl. Oh, man, I like Cheez-Its.
But they were farming Cheez-Its.
I got to.
They had barbers.
Stevie B's Bowl. And it's
there you go.
Everywhere.
Ooh. I don't know. But, I think y'all really kind of hit the nail on the head already. I mean, it was a bad omen right off the bat when Washington had a chance to answer right away and Penix overthrew the receiver in the end zone. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of got an idea of how the night was going to go then, and we saw a lot of that. Maybe it's just me, and I haven't noticed it before, but Penix did a lot of this sidearm slinging stuff. I have never noticed that arm angle from him before, but if it is, that's going to be something they're going to want to try to correct before he goes to the NFL. Because, I mean, you see that some in the NFL, but man, if that's like your go-to, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, it when like Patrick Mahomes is scrambling and like about to be tackled and like dives and throws it, but it's not an effective strategy.
Right. Yeah. So So yeah, there was that. Y'all already mentioned line of scrimmage. Michigan definitely dominated that, and it was kind of that slow domination where it just sort of slowly got out of control, and then obviously we saw Michigan pull away at the end. So yeah, I mean, it's really a similar vibe to what they did to Bama on both fronts, in terms of the line of scrimmage.
That we took the national champions to overtime.
Except that you can say that. So I really don't have much more to say on it because it's already been said. And like you said, Matt, probably going to be an asterisk eventually. So kind of a moot point.
Not allegations, it's evidence.
Hey, real right. quick, did y'all hear what Jim Harbaugh said? Michigan came out and they were trying to work a new contract with him.
Yes.
And he wanted to put in the contract that he couldn't be fired for any right. future it, things.
And
that
no
came.
Fire clause.
Dude, right. That man is wild.
Guilty dogs bark, bro. That's all yeah. I'm going to say.
No termination right. clause.
The yeah. confidence and, dare I say, audacity.
Yeah.
But think about audacity. It. Think about it. If you're the head coach at Michigan and you want the biggest bargaining chip you can get, he's got it. He hasn't lost to Michigan. He brought a national championship back to them for the first time since 1997, uh-huh. I think.
Seven, yeah.
He can write his own check at this point. I mean, he's Michigan yeah. royalty.
And he's been in the playoffs for all these other years, too. So it ain't yeah. like you just randomly had a randomly good year. Like, you've had yeah. good, successful years. Like, this is right. just your building stone, you know.
But it doesn't matter because he's about to go to the Chargers anyway. So what does it matter?
Or the
yeah,
Seahawks.
That's what
we'll talk about that, too. Talking. There's so many options out there. So
I swear to high heaven, I'm saying it now because I lost Saban. I lost Bill Belichick. It's just been a really tough time.
Yeah.
Football has forsaken me.
Jesse's going through it.
I promise you, Robert Kraft, tune in and listen. Do not, for the love of all that's holy, hire Jim Harbaugh at the Patriots. I will. Oh, we've already got a coach. That's right.
I was going to say,
they hired Gerard Mayo, a University of Tennessee graduate, I may add.
Yes, he seems lovely. I just had a panic moment.
A great players coach. Yeah, great players coach too, man.
Jesse forgot where she was. She had
And Jesse, if you're a Patriots fan, you like that too because Gerard Mayo came up with Belichick and through his system and stuff like that. So that I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, but, you know. Some struggle years for us, bro. Struggle years.
We always beat the Patriots.
Yeah, really speaking
yeah
of
we do. We can only yeah. beat y'all, though. We can't beat nobody else. Like, I don't know okay. why.
All I had to say is go Lions.
It hurts our feelings.
Lions are my pick.
That's, I'm with you. Wild. Go Lions, man. I'm with
it's
them. I'm riding
so
with
wild
them.
For them. I'm so excited. And again,
first playoff win
watched...
since 93. Is that right? 93? Mm-hmm.
Yep,
I think yeah.
not much Barry Sanders,
and I think it's, they've only had two in their whole existing, counting the one that happened the other night. That Ooh. That and the 93 one's the only two Ooh. I think they've ever had. Ooh. I think I'm not sure. I think though,
their history has been
poverty. Yes,
did you see yeah. they were poverty. Showing a guy who was he'd been a season ticket holder for like 66 years. He's like 80 something years old. That guy has seen some stuff. So.
That would have made me cry right there. Like seeing that, dude, I'd yeah. probably been like an emotional fan. Would have like, come here, man, give me a hug.
Right.
I mean, Eminem started singing a chant of "Lose Yourself" at the
yeah.
game.
No, you know I how dope that would be. Like if you're a fan of the Lions and Eminem's basically kind of like your celebrity mascot. Like that's got to be super cool, dude.
Yeah, it's. We're here for the Lions. That's at that's the end right. of the day. Yeah. That's what we support in Michigan. We're taking a stance on it.
I agree. I like the Lions, and I would literally cheer for them like I would Miami if they won the Super Bowl this year. Not gonna lie,
I think everyone has to, right? Like
Dan Campbell, man, he's a guy too. Like he's a guy. Like when you see him coach, man, like a dude. I don't even play football. It's been years. I've been out of high school. I grew up playing it, but you know, no college or until high. But I'll go suit up for this man after hearing that speech the other night. Like you can come use me as a tackle now. Dummy. Yes, I'm like. Let's go, Dan. Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to sweep the gutters? Like, I'll do whatever. Like,
right.
He's a good leader.
Yeah. So we will definitely watch the playoffs with bated breath. See what happens with that. See how far they can go. Make that run. So.
Coach Amir Gibbs.
All right. Let's talk about some news real quick.
Here's the news.
All right, so unless you've been living under a rock somewhere, Nick Saban has retired. That is obviously the biggest news that we've got. Came as a surprise to pretty much everyone, except for maybe a select few. And then in the wake of that, Alabama hires Washington's head coach, Kalen DeBoer. He has since, you know, given his introductory speech and hired a few coaches and things like that. So obviously they're dealing with trying to mitigate too many bad things happen in the transition. Obviously, there's damage control is the word I'm looking for in that transition period. So really, I just want to throw it out there to you all, just to kind of whatever you want to share in terms of how you feel about the retirement itself. And then obviously how y'all feel about this new hire. Anybody?
I'm happy for him. He's 72 years old. Like, there, what else could he do for us? Right. Like that, he is the standard. He has set the standard and I'm so appreciative. He started coaching in 2007. I was 14. So most of my life has been a Nick Saban era, but much like Josh, I remember the mics. I remember getting made fun of in school for being a Bama fan. It was not fun. And I think, and this is me like being super sentimental and like silly maybe, but I went to Bama wanting to be a sports reporter. And my dream was to, you know, get to cover a really successful athletic department. I wanted to be on the sidelines. And so much of my college career and my professional career has Nick Saban just all over it, covering his press conferences, being on the sidelines and just watching him in awe. He is not a large man, but his presence is insane. And what he and Miss Terry have given back to the Tuscaloosa community is amazing. The way that they were there and in it after the tornadoes in 2011, you know, they were there. They supported. They made things happen. And Alabama football was what the town could rally around. It was like that hope that we had. And it was incredible. And he brought a fan base that needed some hope and needed some joy. And he brought it. And he didn't bring it just once and leave us. He did what so many coaches don't do. And he stayed. And he built a culture and he built a legacy. And as a Bama fan, I am forever grateful for that. As someone who got to interact with him professionally, I am so grateful for that. And dadgummit, that was some damn good football. That is insane. I'm so, so happy for him. He's going to stick around. He's got an office. He's already said, and so is the new coach, you know, he's got the access, whatever he wants, he's got the access. And I hope he takes advantage of that while still relaxing and taking care of himself. But it will be interesting because the message of Coach DeBoer is stay with Bama, build your legacy, cement your name. You know, the legacy is not going anywhere, but will that actually come true? Because let's be honest, who wants to be the guy that follows up Nick Saban?
It's tough.
I don't.
For sure.
That's terrible shoes to be in. You're never going to be as good as that person.
We said on the show 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, when Jack posed this very question to you, and that was who would be the best one to take the job. And we all said, you don't want to be the guy after. You want to be the guy after the guy.
After the guy.
So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's an interesting hire. It was not someone I even thought of. I didn't even know he was in the realm of possibility. I was hoping for Lane Kiffin. I had heard Dan Lanning rumors. And I was kind of hoping they might throw in Bill Belichick just to get him. It didn't happen. When they announced it, I was shocked. Josh, I don't know if you thought that he was an option. I did not.
So I'm not going to be – this is going to sound so like a casual take here, but I did think he was an option. And I'm going to tell you why, though. So you said Lane Kiffin, just like 99% of our fan base would yell Lane Kiffin. And I love Lane. I love Lane. If it was not for Lane, Nick Saban the past 6 years would have probably retired 6 years ago. He helped revamp the offense when he was there to make Nick Saban where he took that extra step to where he, you know, was able to finish like he did. But the reason I say that is I was when Nick Saban retired instantly, I'm like, okay, so, you know, this is news to all of us as a shock. Our AD has had to have known this for a minimum 24 hours already. Had to.
Oh.
As Nick Saban, when you go to leave, a 2 week notice is what normal people call it in the world. You know, he's bigger than a 2 week notice. You know, I think Greg may have known this well beforehand. And that's why when Nick Saban announced his retirement, Greg had talked about him being already in Washington, talking with DeBoer, getting, you know, something worked. I think that was him already thinking of this. And then he also said in the hiring process that like 3 or 4 years ago, he had his eyes on him. Because you got to think, you know, Nick Saban's on the back end these last couple of years. Why would you, if you don't have a guy in your mind already, then you have failed as the athletic director.
Right.
You failed. You failed. And he did not fail. A lot of people are like, well, this was the best hire we could get right now, period. Dan Lanning wasn't leaving. They just did something great in Oregon. Kirby, a lot of people are pinching Kirby Smart. I'm like, hey, dude, Kirby's a UGA grad, too, man. He's from there. It's this place. They're doing fantastic. Why leave there? Now, I said we could have got Kirby if Nick would have retired 6 years from now. I said we would have a shot at maybe getting Kirby then. That would be on the back end of Georgia, and who knows where things are in 6 years. But that's all behind water under the bridge there. But I'm going to speak on something. You talked about the retirement part. I love Nick Saban. That's the GOAT. I want to speak on the elephant in the room, which will be the departures. Everybody's going crazy right now. I call me what you want. I only think one great player is left so far. Two. Isaiah Bond and Caleb Downs. Everybody else are – I'm not trying to, like, bash, but, like – all right, we gave up like 47 sacks this year. Bye, Caleb Proctor. I'm okay with that. I'm not upset with that, okay? Everybody's crying about that.
When our center went, huh?
Yes.
Good luck finding somebody.
Yes. We'll figure that out, buddy. And then, like, you know, Caleb Downs, Georgia, you're about to get him. I already tell you that, man. T-Rob, that relationship. Yeah, everybody get a great player, arguably the best in the country on defense side of the ball.
He was a freshman of the year, right, I think.
Yeah. Yep. And then Isaiah Bond, man, he's going to do great at Texas, I think. I think those are our two big ones. Everybody's tripping out about the other ones. I'm not hating. Those are probably all great players. I'm talking about for what they've done for the Tide on the field is what I'm going off of here. Turnover rate. You got a new coaching staff in there, bro. Caleb Downs was not – he was recruited by T-Rob and Nick Saban. Guess who's not there right now? T-Rob or Nick Saban.
Right.
So – It just, you know, these are like you said earlier, Jesse, we'd say kids. Like, you know, I'm 31. I don't know how old y'all are. I have three daughters. So, like, when I see an 18 to 20-year-old, I still think as them as a kid because in my head that's what I feel like they, you know, are. So, in that aspect, I think that DeBoer has a plan for this. Obviously, kids, their minds everywhere nowadays, especially with money. I couldn't tell you that I would be loyal to a university when somebody's flaunting me, you know, millions of dollars that I've never had in my life, you know, that.
And you're not guaranteed to ever have again.
Right. Yes, you could go out there and tear your ACL tomorrow at practice, you know.
And look how many that has happened to.
And you don't get to go to the NFL. Not everybody goes to the NFL just because you played in college.
Yep. Right. And it's, you know, it's one of those things, and with the departures to kind of wrap that up there, you know, the April rolls around, the portal will open back up. Obviously, Alabama will be a monster in that and we'll be devouring. But the NCAA does have to come up with something here. And I'm not complaining about the portal at all because we have been blessed by it here. But there is somewhat of a disconnect here, like to where everybody can shop Arizona, Bama players. And if Jim Harbaugh leaves, watch what happens to Michigan. Watch how this implodes. This is going to be wild. And then you're going to have Michigan and Alabama rolling into the spring needing like 20 guys because we don't have it, okay? And then they're going to be in the portal going crazy. And like, I don't know. I just think there's – like we have the smartest – some of the smartest minds and we can't come up with a better system, when I feel like some average Joes could probably come up with a better system. I don't think it's that hard to come up with a system and make it work. So
goodness knows, you know, it's taken them a long time to figure out a playoff system, and we're still not there.
Right. You're right. You're the right. We're talking about the NCAA.
It's not hard to come up with the system. I think the issue is all of these schools being part of the NCAA is voluntary. It's absolutely voluntary. You don't have
True.
To.
You are
just
right. Won't
play in their sponsored things, but they are a regulatory governing body, but they are still under the federal government. And Lord knows, not to get political, but our government, regardless of who is in charge, is not going to do anything because
you are so right. So right.
Too many people that want to make money off of athletes that also support senators and congresspeople.
Yeah.
You are so right.
It's not.
That's a winding loophole that we could be on this podcast for hours talking about of things right there, because you are not lying about that. You are spot on there.
And one big reason for why the whole cheating thing at Michigan may never come to fruition.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath on that case. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Crazy situation there.
Matt, what are your thoughts on first Saban's retirement and then this hire of Kalen DeBoer?
Well, coming from a perspective of someone that absolutely hated last, 16 years or however long it's been.
17.
Whatever. I can't do math. That's why I don't teach it. You know, Nick Saban kicking our head in every time I turn around and just dominating the sport top to bottom. I'm glad he's gone. But allow me to take off the Tennessee Vol fan hat for a second. And, you know, I mean, deep down, you know, Coach Saban's a great guy. I know I talked a bunch of junk over the past however long we've been doing this podcast. I say a lot of things, but you can't not appreciate the impact that Nick Saban has had on college football. He's been a great ambassador for it. I know that we you know, disparage a lot of the things that he does. There's been a lot of accusations of things that he may or may not have done under the table. All that aside, I wish him well in retirement. I hope he enjoys it. That being said, I don't feel super optimistic about this DeBoer hire, only because when you look at those coaches that always seem to take over for the legend, as it were, those coaches don't usually do very well, and there's usually a pretty limited window for how much patience fans of that particular team will have for that person. You know, when you look at his record, and you got it up here on our thing, I mean, guy's 104-12 as a head coach. I mean, he wins. No one's going to take that away. He's 2-1 in 3 bowl games. You know, he was 17-2 in the NAIA playoffs when he was at Sioux Falls. I mean, he's won everywhere he's gone. The only place he's had a losing season was 2020 at Fresno State when they went 3-3. The guy's won football games. However, winning football games in the Great Plains Athletic Conference, the Mountain West Conference, and the Pac-12 Conference, I don't know if that style of football is going to translate well to the SEC. When you look at the job that Washington had going against Michigan, they didn't stack up real well. I felt like they got dominated on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage. I felt like the coaching was a little better from Jim Harbaugh and his staff. I don't know. Like, I'm getting, and Jesse and Josh, you're going to hate this, but I'm getting like flashbacks to Dennis Franchione and Franchione was only there for like 3 days before he had a sex scandal, but I just, this doesn't feel like a home run hire to me. This feels like settling, if you will. I feel like they went to Lane. Lane said, I'm good in the SIP. I'm not leaving. I'm fine. Thank you. Because I think Lane was probably smart enough to go, I don't want to be the guy that takes over for Nick Saban. That is career death. No, thank you. Lanning obviously probably had a similar thought at Oregon. And I feel like that this guy's probably third, fourth, or fifth on that list. And I don't know. The Tennessee fan of me is loving this because I'm hoping that we're getting a return to mediocre Alabama football. what I hope.
Well, you know what it's like to be in the midst of coaching hire debacle.
Yes, yes. I mean, this is what happened with Jeremy Pruitt. We went looking for people and looking for people and looking for people. And finally, we settled on Jeremy Pruitt, who's probably one of the most destructive SEC coaches in the history of the conference. Not saying that DeBoer is going to be that bad, but
yeah,
it's just I don't – if I was a Bama fan, I would be very – I'd feel a lot of trepidation about the situation, and I would be very nervous.
You'd be a little concernicus.
I would be very concernicus.
Yeah. So those are good points. To go back to, I think, what you were saying earlier, Jesse, is I'm glad that Saban gets to enjoy retirement. I mean, look how many guys – have just coached to the bitter end and have absolutely nothing left.
Yeah.
And he has the opportunity to actually take some time to just chill, enjoy life if he wants to step away for a little bit and just enjoy it. I think he's earned that. So yeah. I am glad that he's able to do that. In terms of the hire, to me, it felt, when I heard the name, I was like, huh? I mean, granted, his name,
everybody had that same thought
in the national conversation, just being in the national championship game. But it did feel kind of out of left field. And then I started doing the math, how you just were talking about with Lanning and Lane and all that, and how those guys weren't going anywhere. And so this was kind of like the next best option. Not to say that he's leftovers, but I mean, in terms of your options that are there, that's what you've got. Obviously, as like kind of like you, Matt, as a Georgia fan, I do kind of hope that this, you know, means that they won't be on top, you know, all the time. You know, we'll see. You know, who knows? I know they've already the no Southern ties thing has already been kind of debunked by what's his name over at Saturday Down South, I think. Obviously, before he came to Alabama, Nick Saban, no Southern ties. Les Miles, LSU, no Southern ties. And they did fairly well for themselves down there. I mean, you could even talk about Brian Kelly if we want to go down there to LSU. Or
don't bring Brian Kelly into it with his fake Southern accent.
So
we don't need to.
Man.
But the thing is that, you know, no Southern ties doesn't mean that he's not going to do well in the SEC. So I'm not just going to go out on a limb and say that right now.
Turns out football, Southern tie. We're good with it. That, right. That can be the tie.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I do understand that the brand of football is much different, like you said, Matt, in all these different conferences, Pac-12 mm-hmm. and then to SEC. I hate to be cliche, but time's going to tell. Right. We're just going to have to wait it out and see what happens. And like y'all were talking about with all these transfers and stuff, some people are just going to have to not panic and wait it out and see what happens.
Hey, Wes, listen, you know, it's going to be good. You want to know where it's going to be? You know, you just said, hey, you had to be cliche here and wait it out. But you know where the wait's going to be?
What's that?
It's going to be Alabama versus Georgia week 5.
Well, true. Yeah.
Because and that's going to be.
It's about time y'all played during the regular season. I applaud.
We just played them in the regular season. Like 3 years ago.
We played
2020.
God help us.
Like week 3 or 4.
Tennessee has to play them every single year. Both of them.
Auburn,
it's been
Auburn
awful.
Probably feels bad, too, because Auburn plays Georgia.
God.
Every year, no matter what. That's so
awful.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking, too, because I think in previous episodes we had talked about, and I said it a couple of years ago, is, you know, we could get Dabo Swinney to come over. And Lord bless it. I am so glad we didn't, because when I tell you that is not a culture fit, it's not a culture fit.
Well, you want to talk about people saying that the reason Saban may have left was because of NIL and transfer portal. And then you talk about another guy who's bad-mouthed both of those consistently.
Yes. Yeah. People kept mentioning Dabo, and I was like, guys, do you not understand what Nick Saban's saying? And you're saying you want to go after a guy that's on the same, like, no, we need a guy that wants to adapt to NIL, because that's what it's going to be. Like, we can complain. If anybody could have changed it, it was Nick Saban, and they didn't get changed. So, yeah.
Which, anybody, I mean, Saban has adapted how many times over the years? You know, whether it new rules or, you know, what,
but
what
it's
have 72, you, new offense.
Man, it just catches up to you. That's what everybody's
saying. He's reached
saying.
His final form.
Yeah. You know, and hey, at least you can go out and you can say, hey, my last year I lost 2 games into the national championship team, and I beat, you know, number one team in the nation and win the SEC championship. You know, that's a good go out. That's not a bad go out. That's not a bad season. And Alabama fans, the spoiled ones are like, we didn't win a natty. I'm like, yeah, but we have so many other things we did great on this season that we could have lost four games. Easy. Yeah, but
I think
we didn't.
As a Bama fan, I might be more, maybe not more proud than other team than some of the, like 2020 was an incredible team.
Not Wes, but
I would be very
home.
Proud of this year's team because of the way they started versus the way that they finished. And that was pretty incredible.
One of his best coach teams, if not his best coach team. Yeah. And to go out, I'm still going to say on top, like you said, won an SEC championship, beat a number one ranked team, got to a playoff, and
was fourth and goal from a natty. I mean, we were fourth and goal from an OT. Like,
exactly.
I mean,
and so many coaches wait too long to see themselves become a villain or to break a rule or to do something that damages their legacy. To go out with your legacy still intact is super important.
And he handed it off like a true leader / legend. Leaders and legends don't leave places in a debacle or craziness. Like, he handed this off to DeBoer. Like, hey, now everybody leaves. That's, you know, he can't make decisions for these individual players. But the program is at the highest level you can get it at. Versus when he came in, when it was poverty, when we were just coming up. We almost got the death penalty a couple years before that because everybody was paying players and paying coaches were paying strippers to go to hotels. Like, it was just wild.
I think we've all
what Saban has stepped into, you know, like, versus what DeBoer has stepped into are two totally different realms of stepping into college football. And it's good that Saban left him in a good spot there. Bunch of 5- and 4-star guys.
Why did I picture when you said that? I was picturing Jimbo leaving FSU.
Like, that's exactly who I was thinking of too. Yeah, trash. Throw the Christmas tree out by the trash can. Pack up the boxes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a prime example. And listen, Jimbo is getting paid $78 million for Jameis Winston and what's the receiver? Benjamin? Wasn't that the receiver?
Kelvin Benjamin.
That's the only two players you can name from his go to A&M and Florida State that was actually was Derwin James there when he was? If not him too.
Yeah.
That'll be three. But yeah. Other than that though, there's not a player that Jimbo you can name 10 Nick Saban or Kirby Smart players right now, I feel like. You know?
And I think shifting gears a little bit, I think maybe select few people knew that Saban was done maybe a few weeks or a good while in advance. If y'all go back, and you may have already seen this, and watch the exchange between Saban and Kirby at the SEC championship right before the game, and just the way they are talking to each other, it's almost in the past tense. And it's almost like, you know, and Kirby's just like, you're a hell of a coach. And just knew. Yeah.
It's almost like Kirby knew, man. It's almost like he told Kirby.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I don't know if he did. Don't know if he did. That isn't confirmed. But I will say.
Put it in the text string a couple weeks before.
He probably told Blaine and Kirby.
Nick can't type that many letters.
That's true. He's got the old flip phone. He's hitting each button like 4 times to get the right letter.
He's got that T9 on his jitterbug phone.
Terry Hill.
Yeah.
Not the jitterbug.
Oh, man.
Terry probably texted them.
That's true. Yeah, he just hands the phone over. All right, can you do this for me?
Listen. Send him a text.
All right, keeping in this vein, let's do a quick speed round. All right, so now that Nick Saban has retired, it's time to rank him amongst the best to ever do it. Where would you put Saban on the all-time list? And who would you put in front of him if he's not at the top? Jesse, let's start with you. What you got?
I mean, it's going to sound biased, but I mean, he's my top because it's like Josh mentioned, he came in to straight trash of a program. It was trash. It was terrible. And then in 2 years, won a natty. That's wild.
Yeah.
He has set the standard that other programs now hold their coaches to, whether it's for good or not. Yeah. But you don't win a natty in 2 years when you come in. Bye. There's no patience. You look at winningest coaches, and I know I've seen stats, people bring up Joe Pa. I'm sorry. You are not the greatest because of what you allowed in your locker room, but you knew
what was going on.
So no, you don't get to be the greatest when you're disgusting. Absolutely not. Greatest is taken out of your title. I don't care how many football games you win. Nick Saban is a good human. And there's other coaches I know that are winning, but to be a coach that has consistently won, who consistently allows players to go to the next level and succeed. There's so many players at the next level that played for him. A lot of coaches can't say that. And to invest so much in the community he coached in, that's another thing for me, for players to respect him. And again, for other teams and other conferences to hold this program and him in such high esteem, to fear playing against him. To me, that's just the mark of the greatest. When someone like this retires, the whole world is either super happy or devastated. That's the greatest.
Matt?
I don't think I could say a whole lot else other than, I mean, just look at the numbers. So he won the national championship 7 times. That's unheard of. The Bear only had 6. And nobody else even got close to that number. He won almost 300 games as a head coach. 80% of his games were wins. That by itself is a crazy number. When you look at percentages of wins, the only coach that's in a similar vein is Tom Osborne at Nebraska. That's the only other person that has a better name than that. So, or better number than that too. 9-5 in the CFP, 12 conference championships, 11 in the SEC, 1 in the, the ASUN or something? I can't remember. But yeah, I mean, biases aside, it's hard to argue against Nick Saban being the GOAT, being the greatest of all time. I don't see how you can make an argument for anybody else. I mean, you can get into the mamby-pamby. Well, he's only got 292 wins, and Bobby Bowden has like 325. Yeah, sure, whatever. But when you look at the total package, I really feel like Nick's the best.
And I forgot to mention, look at how many people have coached under him that are now successful head coaches. The Saban disciples speak for themselves.
Yeah, Saban coaching tree is pretty extensive.
That 2018 coaching tree at Alabama was probably arguably one of the best coaching trios of – well, no, 16, my bad, 16. I said 18, I meant 16. Because you had – or was it 15? I'm confused. I'm not – it was 15 or 16. Kirby Lane, 15, 16. We had Kirby Lane.
Loxley.
Dan Lanning was there then too. But he wasn't like a huge coordinator. Yes, he was like his first role was
position coach.
Alabama. Yes, mm-hmm. And then when Kirby went, he went with Kirby, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
But yeah, man, he's
Butch Jones.
Hey, we're having a good time, Wes. Why are you going to bring that devil into this?
I'm sorry. He was a Saban in that tree. If we want to be technical about it, he was an analyst, right?
No. Hold on a second. He jumped in that tree after Tennessee gave him the boot. He came from Cincinnati. Yeah. He was not in that tree.
I'm just messing, dude.
Don't you do that, Wes. Don't you put that voodoo on us. Don't you do it.
He came to the Nick Saban Hospital for coaches.
That's right.
And he got him a job at Arkansas State where he got blanked out like 76-3.
Yeah, he did.
Anyway.
Bye, Wes. My blood pressure's going up.
Anyway, Josh, what about you?
So I'll give you a top three. Nick Saban, the Bear, and Tom. It's Tom, not Tim, right? It's Tom Osborne, right? Yeah, make sure Tom. I said that right. Yeah. Really good in the 90s. Those are my top three coaches. As what Jesse said earlier, I keep Joe Paterno out because of those reasons. Nick Saban, man, it's not it's one of those cliche things when you're like, you know, words can't describe this, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, we're talking the last 15 title games. 13 of the 15, Bama either won it or you beat Bama in it. That's it. You can't ask. You literally probably couldn't draw it up better than that, man. You could, hey, if you laid down and prayed for a good football season or a good head coach to God at any point in time in your life, you would, upon your wildest dreams, you would have prayed and got this. You know, right. Like, I mean, It's just one of those things, man. It's cliche when you say this, you'll never see it again. You probably won't. Like, multiple reasons, not just because Nick's the GOAT, but NIL is
right.
Even the playing field beyond, as everybody can see now, people were taking pay cuts to come to Alabama because NIL money. Because now guys are going to get a check. They're leaving Bama to go get a check. And which, hey, I'm not one of those guys that, hey, do your thing and what you feel is best for you. I'm with what Malachi Moore said. And if you don't know what that is, you can go look it up. But, yeah, he's the GOAT, man. It's bittersweet. I'm not going to lie to you. I did cry a little bit when it happened. I had like a moment of silence. I texted my wife. She was at work. And I said, Nick's gone. And she was like, what? And I was like, Nick Saban. She was like, what do you mean he died? I was like, no. I was like, he retired. She was like, do I need to come home from work? I was like, probably. I'm like, probably. Like, I'm calling in tomorrow. Like, I can't. I'm emotionally unstable.
You're emotionally compromised. That's what we call
when I went into work, they asked me, they were like, hey, dude, do you need to go home? I'm like, I might. Nobody talked to me today. Don't say anything too much to me. Let me be by myself. If you're an Auburn fan, think to yourself. Don't talk to me right now.
Well, and I know
they rolled Toomer's corner when they found out, by the way.
But dude, some of that was to do with the basketball game too, though, because they just had a big basketball win. But I think the Saban
added to it. I think
that added to it. Yeah.
Well, I know that y'all can appreciate this, but I don't know if there's probably a bunch of Bama fans out there who do not know how good that they've had it just to be alive in this era.
Oh, of Bama the trust football. Fund babies. The trust fund babies are going to find out.
So,
they've been to find out.
I mean,
I have students that are Bama fans that always talk crap about Tennessee. Oh, Tennessee's so awful. Oh, Bama's going to beat you. I'm like, kid, you've been on the planet for like 5 minutes. You don't know what bad Bama football looks like. You don't have any idea. Don't wish for that. You don't want that voodoo in your life. It's awful.
Them 2000 games, man, from 2000 to like 2006 and even Saban's first year was eh. But that 2000 to 2006 was horrible. But this is my argument real quick, Jesse. I don't know if you know this or not, but this is my argument to everybody that talks about the old Bama back to mediocre Bama. So since the 1900, right, to now, 2023, the only decades Bama has not won a natty is the 80s, which was after Bear retired, and the 40s. We have won a natty in every other decade. So, yeah, boom.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, I went and looked that up. I was like, hey, so because everybody kept coming in, and then a lot of people are like, oh, well, because I look younger, I guess, than what I am. A lot of people are like, well, you don't know what it's like without Saban. I'm like, yes, I do. I lost a bet to Roy Beebe every year in elementary school because Auburn beat us, okay? I do know what it's like to suck, okay? Oh, we were 5-7.
Shout out to the elementary school days. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you got to put Saban at the top. I know – there are plenty of other coaches out there with perhaps more wins, like you're talking Bobby Bowden, and even maybe a higher winning percentage. But Saban has the most championships at the highest level. And I think that's the measuring stick that we got to go with. And just, you know, when you watch something and you just see the sheer domination of a program, there's sometimes that you just sort of have to drop everything and just realize that this is different. The only thing I can compare it to is like prime Tiger Woods back in the day is like, ooh. You just sort of have to sit back and realize that you're witnessing greatness and it is what it is. It just, sometimes you can't say anything about it. You just got to watch it and enjoy it. But I think that in and of itself, not just the championships, but the way it was done, the dominating fashion it was done. That's the measuring stick. He's at the top. So. All right. So the next one, this one, it could get interesting. It sounds like Nick Saban will continue to be a fixture around Tuscaloosa. Will his constant presence be a help or a hindrance to incoming coach Kalen DeBoer? Josh, let's start with you first this time. What do you got?
So this one's I think this is going to be one that's probably one of the most speculated roles/things talked about when you talk about Saban nowadays, or like going forward at the Alabama. I think it's in what Kalen said. He said, hey, I'll be stupid not to give him 100% access. He said, you know, same thing with the old Bama players as well. He said, hey, guys, come back. I want you to come back. I want you to come back and tell us these stories. Let me learn about the Bama, you know, standard and history more. So, you know, that's good to hear from him. But at the same time, there can't be two chiefs. There can't be two dads. There can't be two, you know, two tribal. Like, you know, there's a leader in there. Okay, and that's his team. That's Kalen's team now. You know, so Nick would not overstep that, obviously, but I think that there's a line, and you know, you can't cross the line too much on one way, or then you take away from him. So, you know, I think it's going to be a 50-50 type thing, kind of give or take what happens. I think that he's going to use him a lot as advice. So, for example, we're going against Tennessee's offense. Last year, Tennessee had one of the fastest per-play offenses. Hey, what did you do, Saban, to slow him down? You know, I think that might be what Saban's role is. Also, hey, Saban, we got this 5-star guy coming in this weekend. You know, make sure you pop up at the field house. You know, those types of things, I feel like, is, you know, Saban might be working contracts underneath for home and aways. You know, there might be stuff like that. You know, I just don't see him on the field coaching. Okay, he's not gonna be in the field house and like workouts. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see those type of things. He stepped away from that for a reason, but I do think he has his hand in it enough that, you know, keep him busy, because he's not the type of guy just to retire and do nothing. You know, it's just not his style, not his MO. So I think, you know, he's around to an extent. Like I said, recruitment pitches. You know, hey, Saban, what did you do in this situation? Oh, you did. Okay, why? Okay, cool, cool, cool. And then he kind of gets an idea and then puts it with his, you know. So I think that's kind of how that'll roll. And then what I've read as well, that's similar to what I said, is an advisor role. So, you know, that's kind of what an advisor is. And it'll be a recruitment pitch too, I believe. Obviously, you know, Nick Saban walks in on a 5-star commit that's 50-50, and he talks to him. He's like, yeah, you know, you come to Bama, shake his hand, you know, boom, 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 the whole little XO thing, you know. That could be good for recruitment. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm glad he's still in-house. I'm just going to – that makes me feel a lot better. That made a lot of Bama fans feel better, I think. And, yeah, I'm excited about that part.
Matt, I understand you may have a different take.
I just – you know, the good book says you can't serve two masters. And I feel like this is a situation where you've got too many cooks in the kitchen. DeBoer has to put his own stamp on this program. Saban put his stamp on the program. It's going to be there for a really long time. DeBoer's going to have to come in and do his own thing too. He's going to have to show that this is his team. He's just not the fill-in interim head coach while Nick's in the back having a moon pie. The other part of this, I'm having a brain fart. Where was I going? Oh my God.
Saban's in the back having a moon pie. Kalen, yes. DeBoer's got to make his own stamp.
Oh my God. Right. What
too
was
many cooks
next
in the
point?
Kitchen.
I've lost too many cooks in the kitchen. I'm embarrassed. I can't remember where I was going. What it's going to boil down to. Oh, I remember now. Y'all all seen The Godfather, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. There. Yes. No.
Yeah.
Sorry. I said yes.
If you've seen The Godfather, then you know there's a scene near the tail end where the Godfather is officially retired, Michael Corleone's taken over, and all of the Godfather's old, like, second in commands and stuff are going to him saying, hey, what should we do about this? What can we do about that? And he's saying, no, go talk to him. He's in charge now. And I think in order for this situation to work out to the betterment of the Alabama program, you've got to have a situation where Nick's not going to try and stick fingers in. And I don't think he will. I think he's smart enough to realize, you know, his time at Bama's over with. He's still going to be there. I think he's smart enough to go, listen, this is not my program. I have to kind of steer things to DeBoer. I got to make sure no one's trying to do an end around and coming to talk to me. I think that's the way it's got to be played. I don't like the idea personally. I just feel like it's a bit of a it could be a bit of a hindrance if it's not handled well. And it could get really embarrassing really quickly if, you know, certain situations or certain personalities clash.
Right. Jesse, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with both of you. I don't think Nick will be the cause of any hindrance. I don't think he will try to overstep or control from the background. I think the thing that might cause some dissonance is the fan base and the fact that if there's anything that's done that Kalen DeBoer does that we don't agree with, or he's not successful right away in a certain aspect that Nick Saban was, then they're immediately, and I say they, the Alabama fandom is immediately going to say, you need to go talk to Saban. You need to use him more. This wouldn't have happened. And we can't do that. We can't just say like,
yep,
you have Saban, use him. Why can't, he's not going to be Saban 2.0, even if he has the ability to talk to him every day. And we have to understand that and understand that Nick is not the puppet master and Kalen DeBoer is not this, you know, little marionette that he's controlling. He's going to be his own person. Nick will offer whatever advice I'm sure he can give when asked, but he's not in control, and we can't treat it as though he is.
Yeah.
So very true. Hey, real quick.
Yeah,
when she said something about the Alabama fans are going to be like, Nick Saban wouldn't do that. I saw a video the other day, and it was like the first time Kalen DeBoer loses a coin toss. So he's like, Nick Saban would have lost that coin toss.
It's 100% true.
1,000%.
The unhinged Bama fans will come for him at some point.
Yeah, I think when I first heard that, when he was saying that in his speech about Saban going to stick around and he wants to have daily meetings with Saban and all this stuff, my first thought was, gosh, why did Saban retire? If he's just going to be doing all this, I guess the difference is he doesn't have to be there if he doesn't want to be. He can step away if he wants to. Exactly.
He's got a beachhouse down to Jupiter that he needs to get to. I told y'all when Miss Terry bought that thing, he was done. I said it to what last year when that news came. I was like, they done bought a house at the beach. He's gone.
Yeah. I think the success of Kalen DeBoer in terms of the too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing is going to depend a lot on Saban's ego. And I'm not saying that he would let it get out of control, but it is hard to let go, right? Especially for guys like him, right? That work ethic, it's so hard to switch off, right? You want to continue working no matter what. And he's got that old school thought process and work ethic and stuff like that. He's not gonna give up. So I will say it's probably gonna be difficult for him. There's gonna be times when situations arise and he's gonna want to say the exact thing that he would as if he was the head coach. And I think he'll probably restrain himself, but I think it's gonna be difficult.
He absolutely will. And I'll tell you why. Her name is Miss Terry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She's already made him run on the treadmill when he steps out of line. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Stay in line because he has to be home with her more.
Right. Well, one thing that I could see this going just askew would be if the two of them, meaning DeBoer and Saban, if they ever clashed on something, I have the feeling that most people in leadership would probably side with Saban on it, to be honest with you. And so if it ever were to lead to like an embarrassing situation where DeBoer is kind of disrespected, I could see that as a major area of just being like, I'm out. I can't do this. So,
hey, Wes, real quick, man.
Yeah.
I'm about to have to go.
Yes, sir.
My daughter waking up real quick, man. But I wanted to say something real quick, guys. Nice chat with you guys.
Yeah. Likewise.
Follow me. I know your page already does. So if y'all have individual pages, follow my page. Shoot me a message, and I'll give you guys my personal page too. And I would love to have y'all on one of my live shows one night when I have it on here, and I'll bring you guys on. We chat football as well.
Yeah, man.
You guys you're a lot more organized than me though, Wes, because you send that whole little thing out. I'm a freestyle kind of guy.
It's just an outline. Really we can do. We can talk whatever. Yeah. It's just sort of a skeleton to go off on. Yeah.
Yeah. I just kind of run up and I'm like, hey guys, let's talk about this. And then I'll lead us off. And then we just kind of all kind of fall in. But I'm more new at it. It sounds like you've been doing this a little bit longer too, man. But I wanted to say thank you so much for having me. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys, do good with life and, all the family stuff and everything like that, man. And, what was Matthew, right?
Matt.
Matthew? Matt. Okay, Matt.
Only my wife and my mom call me Matthew, and it's usually when I'm in trouble.
Yeah, my name's Joshua. So Joshua. So Joshua, I'm in trouble. So yeah, I get you on that. Hey, third Saturday in October. Okay, I got to talk to you that week, man. Woo! That's a big rivalry. I want to see you this year, man. It's at Neyland Stadium, and I'm trying to get tickets. Never been to Tennessee Stadium. I want to go. Oh, man. I think it's gonna be fun. Oh yeah, I know. It's a really big stadium too, man. Super nice. And I want to go. Seems like a lot of fun. But yeah, I want to connect with you guys. But I'm about to head out, man. Thank you again for having me. You guys are awesome.
Man, it's been so great to have you on the show. Yeah. We really appreciate your perspective. It's been awesome. So
yeah, dude. And I appreciate y'all having me, Jesse. Once again, I'm sorry, guys, but you're my favorite. Roll Tide, Jesse. I'm going to get out of here, and I don't give up. It's about nothing but the time, baby. Blitz, Bama, blitz. I'll see you guys.
See you, Josh.
Have a good one, man. All right. So I think, that was about all.
And now everything's back to normal. We're back to one-to-one. Oh, boy. That was
a lot of time.
We have had double Bama on the show before. We've had double Georgia. Actually,
We need to have double Tennessee.
We have. You and Grant are on the same show.
We need to get an Auburn cat on here. I need to get my buddy Grant to come on. He give us the Auburn perspective.
We do. Yeah. I do try to branch out. Yeah. We need to
don't
get
do that, Jesse. Don't do that.
I'm kidding, sort of.
We need a Michigan. Do we know any Michigan people?
I do actually. Yeah. I know. Well, a few,
maybe we
actually.
Need to get a Michigan. Yeah. Maybe we should get Ohio State. No.
Don't get crazy. We need to get like a Arkansas or a Mississippi State.
They're all in Arkansas. Where are you gonna? I do know somebody who's a Mississippi State fan. She's an alum, so
yeah,
that maybe.
I just say we can. I'm welcoming whoever. I love to have the different perspectives on here. So let's do it as much as possible. All right, the final one is: what's your way too early top five for next season, Matt? Let's start with you. Who you got in the top five?
Michigan. I think you have to start off at one. I don't see if you can go anybody else, especially with the way that they won the CFP this year. I think Georgia's at two. There's a couple question marks about who they graduated, who they're getting back, so we'll have to see about that. I think Oregon at three is probably going to start off strong. They're moving to the Big Ten. What's that going to look like? We'll see. I like Texas. Texas at four. Only because Texas is getting most of their strength back. Ewers is going to be back. I think a big chunk of their defense is going to be back next year. They're also going to be moving to the SEC, so it's going to be their strength of schedule is going to go up a little bit. So that'll be interesting. I like Bama at five. I think we'll get a chance to see early if DeBoer is going to be the guy or not.
Yeah. Jesse, who's yours? Way too early, top five.
Yeah, I like where Matt's head's at. I too think Michigan automatically gets put at number one. You win a natty, you go to number one. I agree. Georgia at two. I would say Texas at three, over Oregon, just because I think, I don't know. I think maybe with them having Ewers coming back and knowing that Bo Nix, I'm pretty sure, is finally out of eligibility.
He's out.
But Oregon at three. I would say, I don't know that Bama's four, but I'm going to put Bama at four, and then I'm going to throw everybody off.
Okay.
And I'm going to put Ole Miss at five.
Ooh, okay.
I thought about Ole Miss. I thought about putting Ole Miss that high.
I'm putting Ole Miss at five. They finished with a historic season for them, and they have owned the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting Ole Miss at five.
Yeah, the only thing there is Judkins leaving, but I mean, like you said, there's been so many that came in.
They didn't use him that much, though.
Yeah, they underutilized him, I think.
But not as much as I thought.
Yeah.
No.
All right, I'm going to say, and maybe I'm a homer, but I'm going to say Georgia at one. There's some key losses, but and then lots of core members are returning as well. So we picked up some good guys from the transfer portal. I think it's probably the thing that I'm the most excited about is the return of Branson Robinson, who's a really physical runner who missed all of last season with a ruptured patella tendon. He should be ready by spring practice, and I'm really excited to see how he does. Obviously, we picked up a few transfers. We just got And it looks like Caleb Downs, freshman of the year, huge defensive, you know, success there at Bama, will probably end up at Georgia. So number two, Texas. I'm going to go Texas at number two. They were already really scary on offense, but now Isaiah Bond has joined another, you know, big time wide receiver for years to throw to. Number three, I'm going to go Oregon. They're expected to be a contender, even with the departure of Bo Nix. A lot of uncertainty there. And speaking of uncertainty, I'm going to go number four, Bama. Bama has Milroe, who will give them a chance to win. But honestly, I think their biggest loss in terms of players will be what?
I thought Milroe hit the portal.
Jalen Milroe?
Didn't Jalen Milroe hit the portal?
No, he's there.
Sure, he's there.
I mean, unless it just happened like in the past few minutes.
I saw something about that.
I think the biggest loss in terms of players is going to be Will Reichert, who was clutch in countless situations over the years.
The highest scorer in NCAA history? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I'm going to go number five, Mizzou. And that might come as a surprise as well. They're losing Cody Schrader, which will be a big loss, and some people on defense, but Brady Cook and Luther Burden III, who was you know, a big time receiver for them this year, will be returning, and I think they'll be a bit of a force to be reckoned with. So we might have to deal with Drinky a little bit more. I think the big loss.
Hold on, wait a minute. Back that up. Say it again.
Yeah, I got Mizzou at number five. Yeah. So if you're thinking some teams that might ought to be in front of them, I'm going. There's big losses for people moving on for both Ohio State and Michigan. So I'm going to go Mizzou ahead of them, but we'll see. Yeah.
Wes.
What? Come on. It's not that far-fetched.
Are you seriously putting Drinky at five?
I'm not putting – he's not the only person on the team.
Drinky at five?
Yeah, man. You know,
Wes.
I'm circling the wagons. I did Toughness Tuesday.
Wes.
I did it all. What?
Wes. Oh, no, baby. What are you doing?
Man, I don't know.
I don't want to live in a timeline where Drinkwitz is in the top five.
I don't want to. I'm just going off of what I saw. And the way they finished this season, yeah, Brady Cook coming back, Luther Burden III coming back. I think that tandem plus, you know, I think they're going to get a few things figured out on defense too.
You know who's a team we haven't mentioned?
Who's that?
LSU.
Notre Dame.
Why would we?
I just wanted to see Jesse's reaction.
That's it.
There it was. Okay, we're done. We can move on.
Okay, I think that's all I got for way too early top five. Let's just do a quick opinion and then we'll get out of here.
So, if I may venture an opinion.
I'm not really interested in your opinion, 3PO.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Actually, I lied because there's a Just for Fun segment, but you know what I mean. We'll make this quick. Will Jim Harbaugh head to the NFL now that he has a championship? Now, it's interesting because we now have seven, as we record, NFL head coaching vacancies, unless another one popped up today. San Diego Chargers, Washington Commanders, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, Las Vegas Raiders, Tennessee Titans, and the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know. Do y'all think he'll go? And which one you think is most appealing for old khaki pants?
Well, I know for a fact he's met with two of them. He's met with San Diego. He's met with Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee – 3 years ago, if you'd said, is Harbaugh going to leave to go back to the NFL, I'd say no. He's an alum. He went there. There's that legacy of wanting to make Michigan better. But after the reactions and the things that have happened over the last couple of years, I don't know if that guy's got any loyalty to anything. So I think he's gone. I think unless Michigan is going to give him a bulletproof vest and a Pope mobile, I think he's out the door.
I think that's why he's talking about the no termination clause, Jesse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going back. I think he needed to feel a little bit more success before heading back after losing to his brother. But I would say, to me, maybe he goes to the Commanders so he can be close to Baltimore and the bros can hang. Okay. Or, you know, I don't know, maybe he heads back to Cali and does a stint in San Diego. But to me, like, Falcons, y'all have been struggling since, like, 98. So I don't know if this is the guy.
They had one good year where they made it to the Super Bowl and then 26-3.
And lost 28-point lead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was thinking way back, but yeah. His statement about he doesn't have to sit at the kids table anymore because he now has a championship. That to me tells me that he's done what he wants to do at Michigan.
Absolutely.
So it would make perfect sense for him, you know, talk about stepping away on your own terms. I mean, what better way to leave? Say, all right, I've done it. I got my championship. I'm going to go off and do other things. I could definitely see that. I saw, and you know, your boy Belichick was interviewed for the Falcons spot, it seems, as well. But I was listening to Nick on Veterans Minimum, a friend of ours from the podcast, talk about the Falcons might be the most appealing one, just because they've got a lot of weapons there. It's in a dome, it's a controlled environment. And so there's a lot of factors that are appealing for the Falcons job, and you know, it might not be surprising if he went there.
They got some weapons on offense. I mean, but they don't have a QB. I mean, Desmond Ridder's your top QB. Ugh.
Right.
So yeah. If Belichick takes that job, I would be not shocked if Atlanta goes with a quarterback in the first round. And yeah, I think they've got like a top five pick this year. So you could potentially be looking at them picking up a pretty big name to start off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked. And he's now with Dallas coming out and saying that they're sticking with their coach. I think Atlanta would be a great spot for him because I didn't see him at the Cowboys anyways. Him and Jerry Jones, there's just no way. No way.
They're not.
Yeah. Talk about too many cooks and people clashing, egos clashing. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we'll see what happens with that. Regardless, I think he's going somewhere. So. All right. Well, real quick, as we finish up, let's do a Just for Fun segment on SEC superlatives. And these are some interesting categories here. We got the first one is most popular. Jesse, we're going with teams here. Who do you got from teams. Most? Teams, not individuals. We're going with teams. Most popular. Who do you think? Who do you got?
I mean, I'm going to say.
It is a tough choice. There's a lot of options.
Well, and I'm oscillating between two, but I'm going to say Georgia because I feel like in recent years, there's been a lot of bandwagon Georgia fans. And so I'm going to go with that one. And because I think a lot of people just hate Bama. So I'm going to go with Georgia.
You're saying Georgia because people hate Bama?
Yeah, because there's so many bandwagon fans at Georgia now, and they all hate Bama. So I'm just going to.
I got you. Matt?
I'm going to go with Georgia here, too. I feel like we're in the post-Saban era now. It's kind of akin to the Cold War ending. Once the Cold War was over, who was the only superpower left on the block? That was the United States. Go America. And I just feel like Georgia is the lone superpower that's left standing. And I feel like every bandwagon person on the planet is about to start going and wearing red and black and start barking at small children. I think that's coming. We'll be it, but that's my pick. It's Georgia.
Okay. And to your point there, the question is how much did, you know, just going up against an opponent like Saban make Kirby a better coach? And, you know, who could say really at the end of the day, because we'll never really know because you can't quantify that. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic for sure. I'm going with Mizzou because they created a lot of buzz this season. Obviously, it wasn't expected. They finished really well and had some really good games doing it. Next, most non-conforming. Jesse, who do you have for the non-conforming?
I've got two. This is like a tie.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Vanderbilt because they're just not going to win football. They've just decided to be okay with that.
I'm not doing it.
They're not going to win much of anything. They're not winning in basketball or baseball either.
Nope.
And baseball was their thing. Yeah.
Basketball. I'm also going to go with Florida.
Ooh. Okay.
Because Florida was like, yeah, we remember winning. We're We're not going to do that anymore. It's too mainstream. It's too
mainstream. Florida's a hipster now. I like
Florida
that.
Has become vegan, and they're going to tell you about it.
Oh, gosh. Matt, most non-conforming?
I'm going to go with LSU. Because based on what we saw at LSU this season, it was the tried but true all we need is offense theory of coaching a football team, and I feel like that's very nonconformist. So I'm going to go with LSU.
Okay. Jesse, I too am going with your first option of Vanderbilt because as the most nonconforming, because they decided that you do not need a consistent quarterback to win, which is ironic because all of them left. So it is what it is.
It's fine.
Yeah. You know, just like scoreboard flapping in the wind. Who cares? Whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. Most humorous. Jesse, who you got for most humorous?
Oh. Lane is an obvious choice because he is intentionally funny.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with Drinkwitz because he's not.
Not.
Stands
you
on business.
Think you're laughing with him, but you're actually laughing at him. So I don't
We're
know. We're
standing
if that
on business,
counts.
Josh.
That's
jackass.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Mom.
Matt.
If I would also probably say Lane because Lane's a never-ending source of laughs. The other team that kind of came to mind was South Carolina because after that fall from grace from the end of last season. I mean, heck, I had South Carolina as a dark horse to win the SEC East this year, and I could not have been any more wrong than I was. And just the debacle that South Carolina football's turned into, I feel like that's probably the most humorous. Plus, as a Tennessee fan and then ruining our season last year and hurting our quarterback, it gives me a little bit of joy watching them flounder. But
Matt is never going to let that go.
Nope,
he's going to talk about that for
will.
Years.
Never will. Listen, there are a couple things I will never, ever let go. I will never let go of the fact that South Carolina is dirty and awful and just terrible people. Darius Rucker can go straight to you nowhere. And third off, the Heisman is a useless chunk of metal.
Yep, I knew the Heisman was in there.
Those are three takes I will never take off the table.
Yeah, I really like a lot of the reels that South Carolina media team put out. Any Office reference is gold for me. I would put that as most humorous. But as far as comedy on the field, maybe A&M because that was just a circus.
That was a clown show this year.
That's funny because I have in my note here it was a circus out there this year for A&M. So, yeah. All right, next most attractive. Jesse, who wins most attractive?
Oh my god, that's so hard,
isn't it? It's a weird one, but it's funny.
It's
And also very very mean if we were talking about like superlatives in like the high school sense.
Oh, we had it in my high school.
Yeah.
I still remember who won. Yeah. This one's tough. Come back to me, Mac. Go first.
Yeah.
I would probably say Ole Miss because after the season they've had this season, plus with the way they've worked the transfer portal over, plus the way their offense has looked, I just feel like that's probably the prettiest team that's out there.
Ooh, okay, I've got one.
Go ahead.
Okay, I've got one. I don't know if it counts, but I'm going to stick with it anyways, and it kind of makes me want to throw up when I say it. But I'm going to say Texas. Because Texas is like the new.
Oh, they're not in the SEC yet. We can't claim them yet. We can't
actually
do that.
They're
we
SEC
can't
light.
Do that.
They're SEC
it's
light.
2024. They
hasn't started yet. When we get to media days, then we can claim them.
But they're like the really pretty girl from another school that is like all of a sudden transferring to your school.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, but just wait till you get to know her.
Exactly.
we'll just, see.
And it's like, oh, this sucks. And you want to hate her, but she might be nice. So you don't know, but like, she's got her eyes on your prom date. Yeah.
Yeah. Texas and Oklahoma. There's going to be two of those where everybody's kind of watching like, and we'll see. We'll keep
I am
our
very
eye on
curious
those.
To see how they mesh next year with the conference. Cause you know, you play in the Big 12. That's the Big 12. It's a different ball game down here, kids.
Yeah. This is, I don't know. I like the Ole Miss one. I was going to go with Georgia just because they looked the part for a lot of this year. It's you know, especially kind of when it counted in a lot of the regular season games. Obviously, the last one game in the ACC championship, not so much. That was a tough one in most respects, but I was just trying to think of eye test looking the part in the regular season. Next, most likely to succeed. What do you got, Jesse?
I'm going to say Ole Miss because I already put him in my top five for next year.
That's fair. Matt?
I'm going to deviate a little bit. I'm going to be a bit of a homer here. I'm going to say Tennessee. Only because I feel like this year was a little bit of a letdown. I mean, 8 wins is still really good, and no one's complaining about it. At least I'm not complaining about it. But I just feel like if things keep progressing like we think they might, plus coming off the big bowl win against Iowa, it looked pretty good against a very good defense that Iowa has. I feel like Tennessee's primed in a spot where if Nico and that wide receiver core and that offensive line can kind of haul the mail, Tennessee's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I was going to say Ole Miss, like you said, it's their first 11-win season in program history, and then all those transfer portal victories everywhere you look. So that was a good one for sure.
You said that with such derision in your voice there, Wes.
Yeah, you know, it's rough, but, you know, you got to respect it. All right, and then let's end on a funny one. Most likely to get arrested. Jesse, who do you got?
Auburn. Look at their head coach.
Oh. Wow, she didn't even hesitate. She didn't hesitation. Have to think about it.
Matt?
You know who I'm going to say.
I know who you're going to say because I see it right there.
Who am I going to say, Wes?
You're going to say UGA. Please elaborate.
Well, you know why I'm saying UGA, right?
I don't.
Because I don't know who's giving all these kids and these coaches keys to cars. They can't drive them to save their lives. They're driving faster than I'll get out. Driving them drunk. It's just it's mass chaos in Athens. Kirby needs to get himself together. Some of the stories that you get out of Athens, I feel like I'm looking at Fulmer in like 96. Like I feel like it's Tennessee mid-90s, just ridiculous stuff. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Fun Athens fact. When I was in college as a sophomore, I believe, one of my best friends from college went to go visit her best friend in Athens for New Year's. Obviously underage, she took a gift card. I believe it was like an American Eagle gift card, and printed on regular paper an ID and stapled it to the gift card. And got let into every single bar in Athens.
I mean, also when you consider the fact that how many are there, it doesn't surprise me though. Yeah. Yeah. It does not surprise me. Most likely to get arrested. If I can't pick out of conference, I won't go with Michigan. We were all thinking it. I guess I'll go with Kentucky because it was criminal how much they underwhelmed this season. I think we all kind of had high expectations and it just didn't.
We did.
Never got there. So, yeah. All right. Well, that was fun. It's been a fun season, guys. This is it. It's over. So, yeah. If you guys would like to contact us, please email us at pigskinsandpageantry@gmail.com. We are at Pigskins and Pageantry on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. We are at PPSEC Podcast on X. Don't forget, we are available for download on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn Radio, and most podcasting apps for iPhone, Android, and other operating systems. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and review. We'd love 5 stars. It would greatly help our visibility and just be able to have more great conversations with wonderful people like yourselves. So, yeah, it's the end of the season. It's been a fun one. This is Wes. Until next time, go Dogs.
You're my boy, Nick. Forever and always. Roll Tide.
Say goodbye. To the best place in football. We don't get to see it again until August. Don't make that face, Jesse. You're not allowed. Hey, it's basketball season, guys. Ball's in the Final Four. Go Big Orange. I hope.